And now, our feature presentation.
Come on, how about a nice little smoochy, smoochy, kissy, kissy? You know you can't resist me.
Stop it, horn dog. I want to see this.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset! You maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
That was awesome!
It was okay, I guess. Can we fuck now?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Wake up, the regulars are coming. Wake up and be a free man or liberty dies tonight.
You may all go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
And when you don't, they'll lock your ass.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
Remember the character of the onslaught against us.
Attack rapidly, ruthlessly, viciously, without rest. Keep punching.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it.
I have a dream that my poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent.
You know, someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism.
From my cold, dead hands.
If you want to come and take us,
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
1776! They have declared war on us, and we accept the challenge! We're taking the country back!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
And now, our feature presentation.
And now, meet the star of our show. Alex Jones is back. Bigger.
We love you, Alex!
Stronger. Louder. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Wow!
Wow.
What happened to the gay frogs? You promised me they would be here! I want to see the gay frogs!
Never satisfied.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Hope you're following us on X at AJNLive. At Real Alex Jones, I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Big show for you today. Lots of videos to get to. And I did the thing where I held over a bunch of stuff because yesterday I had so much news, just too much news, and I held some over for today. And then of course you forget that you're going to get another big truckload of news. So I thought maybe I'd start today just by breezing through some of the articles from yesterday before we get to the breaking news today, including some updates to the Iran war. If we want to start with that, this is how confusing it all is, right? From alexjoneslive.com, U.S. fires on ship attempting to break Iran blockade amid several regional maritime attacks. What does that mean? What are you talking about? You know, this is from Kellen McBride. I don't doubt that this is true. I'm not questioning the veracity of the headline. I'm questioning what the hell's going on here. The U.S. is firing on a ship that's attempting to break the Iran blockade. So that's our blockade on Iran. Again, it's just this entire war is just incomprehensible. It's like the Strait of Hormuz has to be open, but also we're shutting it. Okay, great. What does that mean? What does any of this mean? It means we lost the war. What that means is that we lost the war, actually. Gulf states accept a new normal in Hormuz. Iran is in control. So these are the headlines from yesterday that we can get to. And this is a video, and it's a pretty powerful video. But just the headline alone is enough to tell you what's going on in the world. Christian migrant from Iran warns U.S. will regret allowing Sharia Muslims into the country. A self-described Sharia law survivor from Iran issued a stern message at a recent city council meeting, warning residents of to be wary of welcoming Muslims practicing Sharia law after they overtook his country and murdered his friends. Speaking out in opposition to a proposed Islamic center in McKinney, Texas, city council meeting, the man described how the Islamic invasion of Iran wiped out the country's former Christian identity. I'm a Sharia law survivor from Iran. I'm here to tell you this is a dangerous ideology you're allowing in your country, said the man named Eresa. Now, it wasn't just Iran. You might not know this because history doesn't teach this because it's designed to exclude certain historical narratives that are inconvenient to the current political paradigm. But everywhere in the Middle East used to be Christian. Iran used to be Christian. Palestine used to be Christian. Lebanon was Christian until the 1980s. Syria was Christian. One of the first churches ever existed in Syria. All of these places were Christian once. Turkey, back when it was the Byzantine Roman Empire, was the Christian empire. It was the capital of the Christian empire, founded by the first Christian emperor and home to the main church before it was taken over by the Muslims in cahoots, by the way, with the Catholics. We can get into that if we want, but it's just a good reminder that all of these places were Christian at one point. Now, Iran in particular was run by a, you know, quote unquote secular or just like not Muslim extremist king for a while, but he was a puppet that was put there by basically British Petroleum and American and the American CIA. And then he was overthrown by Khomeini, who did turn it into a Muslim country and really kickstarted the very concept of, you know, like radical Muslim governance. Sort of an interesting history, because originally, like things like the Palestinian resistance movement were not Muslim in character. They were like a nationalistic movement, which is why Israel saw fit to fund things like Hamas, because they thought it would discredit or help weaken the more nationalistic, more secular PLO in favor of a more hardline, religiously influenced, funded by Iran series of proxies that Iran was going through. It's an interesting history, but the fact is all of these places, and some until very recently, were in fact majority Christian. And many of these places, and practically everywhere America goes to war, the primary outcome tends to be Christians being eradicated from that area. But moving on, we have this, again from today, alexjoneslive.com. Walmart accused of collecting customers' voice prints. A group of Walmart customers allege that the retail giant broke the Illinois biometric privacy law by purportedly recording voice prints via phone calls to the store. According to the class action complaint, unbeknownst to consumers such as plaintiffs and class members, however, when consumers call into a Walmart customer service line, Walmart creates a voice print or biometric identifier which can be used to identify them in the future. Specifically, when the call connects, Walmart's artificial intelligence system records the audio and isolates the speaker's vocal characteristics. The AI then measures the physical and behavioral identifiers of a person's voice, such as pitch, cadence, tone, and frequency spectrums, which enable Walmart to build a unique mathematical template of the caller's voice. The question is why? Why would they do this? What would be the point of this? It says to prevent fraud when the user and the template fail to match. So I guess Walmart is getting prank phone calls from people pretending to be other people. I don't really buy it. But just know, when our, well, it can go either way, but when our liberties and freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution are eradicated in this country, will almost certainly be by corporations doing so at behest, of course, of the wider sort of de facto corporate global government. But it's a nice little workaround. It's a nice little workaround when your Constitution precludes the government from doing certain things. So you can just have Walmart do them for you. Isn't that convenient? There's the class action suit right there. All right, so let's just do like a little run through of some of the stuff that's broken over the last few days. California City declares state of emergency after cyber attack on computer systems. The city council for Suisun City declared a state of emergency Saturday after a cyber attack forced the municipality to shut down its information technology network. The attack affected the communication operations of the fire and police departments in Northern California City, including the routing of 911 calls. Suisun City officials said in a statement that the attack posed no imminent threat to the public and that all public safety services remained active. The computer network was shut down to contain the threat and preserve evidence for a federal investigation. This attack is believed to be the first of its kind in a city of 30,000 located 55 miles north of San Francisco. As the threat of cybersecurity disruptions of essential services in local communities across the country grows, they're going to blame a lot of this on Iran. Probably there have been a series of attacks, something like 30 attacks against critical infrastructure around America just in the last week or so, including water treatment plants and other places around the country. These could be probing attacks, just testing our defenses, seeing what the bad actors can get away with. Of course, the beauty in the minds of the bad guys of cyber attacks is that they're very easily masked and false flagged and made to look like it's coming from a source that's not where it's coming from. We saw this with some of the Snowden leaks, their ability to mask intrusions in cyberspace by using, you know, fragments of Russian language or Chinese language seemingly left by accident, but in fact, red herring to drive people away from the fact that it was the American government or somebody else that we're supposed to trust actually carrying out these attacks against us. It's the type of attack that you really can't, unless you are I mean, it just when it comes to cyberspace and digital, it's really hard to tell who's doing anything. Yeah, possibly backed by Iran-backed hackers. Could be. And here's the thing. Either this is not Iran and it's a false flag sort of operation, as we've been expecting for a while and waiting for a while, which would not be exactly surprising, or it really is Iran, in which case, once again, I'd say this is us, America, exposing ourselves to a danger and a threat that we don't need to. We have absolutely no need to be at war with Iran at all. But here we are, and so, of course, we're probably going to get blowback. That tends to happen when you start a war. They tend to fight back, and Americans can't expect to be waging wars overseas forever and never have it come back home in any way. Trump blames the Minnesota governor, not Iran, for cyber attacks on the state's water system. Because that's the other thing, is that 99% of the problems that we talk about on this show are fabricated by our own government or our own people. They don't actually exist, right? The flooding of the border, any of this stuff, the transgender nonsense, like it's not real. It's fabricated. It's an attack, right? This isn't a hurricane. It's not a flood. It's not anything like that. It's fabricated. However, in the case of there actually being disasters, threats, foreign actors trying to do damage to us, it would be pretty nice if we could get our priorities sorted out. It'd be nice if we hadn't deliberately excluded a gigantic class of perfectly capable people from our industries. Maybe they could help shore up some of the security. Maybe if we weren't seemingly dedicated entirely and obsessed with like ethnically replacing every white person in America, maybe if we'd focused instead on just doing basic stuff and upkeeping our infrastructure and upgrading our electricity grid and just doing all of this like normal stuff that a country should be spending its money on instead of spending billions of dollars in war overseas. Sorry, let me correct myself. Trillions of dollars in wars overseas and hundreds of billions of dollars bringing Somalis over here so they can rob us. If we had focused just a percentage of that time and effort and resources on shoring up things here, we would have no problems. Unfortunately, we didn't make that choice. We made the other choice. So now if Iran did want to hack in and destroy our infrastructure, probably wouldn't be that difficult. If China wanted to do it, they probably just have to open up the console command for the back door that they insert into the infrastructure that we have them build for some reason. So again, it's like the choices in the past and the choices that we continue to make are genuinely making us unsafer. I see a pretty distinct connection between those two things, just like a connection between the importation of 100 million foreigners into our country. That's going to cause house prices to go up. Do you understand? Are you, you know, able to understand my voice? Because that's about the level of intelligence you need to understand the cause and effect of importing 100 million people and house prices going up. But what about importing 100 million third worlders and cutting off white guys because of their race? That's going to make us less safe. Okay, do we understand? Meanwhile, Iran has completely ruled out any future negotiations with the Trump administration, declaring it will wait out Trump's term until January 20th, 2029, when per Iranian outlets and Ghalibaf advisors post, quote, Trump will not reach an agreement with us. We will accompany him until his term ends. He posted, quote, the path to victory is neither fighting nor a deal. It is managing the process of neither war nor peace up to the point of victory. Publicly confirming negotiations with the U.S. is sheer folly. The winning approach is denial, ambiguity, and strategic patience. Iran's conditions remain unchanged. $300 billion in compensation, release of frozen assets, and withdrawal of U.S. forces. Until then, the strait stays closed. So again, as we talk about the Iran war, and we'll get into more of it later in the show, just from the Iranian perspective, they're winning and they've got no motivation to do anything other than sit back and let Trump flap in the wind and basically just get routinely and repeatedly embarrassed by the Israelis in everything that he tries to do. Again, from New York Times, Iran insists strait will stay closed until U.S. agrees to demands. Then we have a little breakdown here of who's actually in charge. It's from Ann Vandersteel. Who's actually in charge, she asks. President Trump puts forward a U.S.-backed peace plan for Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu publicly rejects it. Read that again. The United States supplies Israel with billions of dollars in military assistance, weapons, diplomatic cover, intelligence cooperation, and enormous geopolitical support. Yet Washington presents a peace plan and Israel says no. Netanyahu says Israeli forces will not withdraw from Gaza until Hamas is fully disarmed. Israel will determine the terms. Israel will determine the timetable. Israel will determine what happens next. So Americans need to ask a very uncomfortable question. Who is driving U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East? The American taxpayers keep writing the checks. The American military carries the risk. The American people absorb the consequences. Yet the United States cannot dictate terms to one of the largest recipients of American support. It's not leadership. This is not sovereignty. This is a foreign policy relationship Americans have every right to scrutinize. America first means America first. Not Ukraine, not Israel, not NATO, not the global war machine first. The United States should never bankroll policies it cannot control and wars the American people never authorized. Follow the money, follow the weapons, follow the policy, then ask again who's really in charge. Netanyahu's rejection was reported on August 9th, 2026, in a rare public break with Trump over the Gaza plan. Because they don't want the Gaza plan. They want to take over Gaza and kill or expel everyone there. They want to send Gazans and all Palestinians into Europe so they can turn Europe into a Muslim hellhole. And once Israel's done with Iran, they'll set their sights on Turkey, and Turkey will activate all of its European terror networks inside European countries to go completely insane. And basically, Europe is going to be destroyed in between these two forces, which is very pathetic because Europe is stronger than both and could put both down, but refuses to live up to its destiny. Very unfortunate. From Hormuz's letter on X, Trump has privately admitted defeat and told CNN, and but let me just while we're at it, I mean, this type of stuff, it's like, all right, you know, maybe 3 years ago was the time to like start questioning the line. At this point, these types of questions, I mean, is the sky blue? Is the grass green? Is Israel controlling America? I mean, come on. It's not that complicated. It is that ridiculous. It is worthy of revolution, absolutely. But we don't need to pretend like this is a question anymore. Trump has privately admitted defeat and told senior aides he is willing to end the Iran war without a nuclear deal if Iran fully reopens the Strait of Hormuz, a retreat from his initial unconditional surrender demand, per Wall Street Journal. Trump has been laying the groundwork to declare victory based solely on Hormuz reopening, walking away from his initial promise to decimate Iran's nuclear program. However, Iran has raised its price for reopening the Strait in the form of new demands, effectively turning what Trump hoped would be his exit into a full U.S. surrender document. Those demands include that $300 billion in compensation, the release of up to $100 billion in frozen assets, lifting all sanctions, U.S. troop withdrawal from the entire region, an end to the naval blockade, and accepting transit fees on every ship. U.S. officials say Trump is desperately searching for an exit, with the only viable option being the Strait of Hormuz. Iran, however, has made it even that impossible unless Trump surrenders on all of his demands, or surrenders to all of their demands. Do you remember like a day after the invasion started? Do you remember what I called it? Do you remember that I said that I didn't know how exactly it would unfold and I'd be happy to be surprised? I would be thrilled if in a week we were done, if this was another redo of Operation Midnight Hammer, which at the time was extremely upsetting, being the one thing I thought Trump would know to avoid, direct confrontation with Iran. However, it, you know, Midnight Hammer. As much as I still don't like it, as much as I still am not in favor of what we did, as much as it was the time at that point to sound the alarm and say, we've got to change the direction before this completely squanders all of Trump's ambitions in the second administration. Maybe we should have been a little bit more vociferous about that argument, even though we were and people just didn't listen to us. And now they blame us for what's happened in the ensuing 9 months. And are still blaming us, even though they're still not listening to us and we're still right about this whole thing. But, you know, if it had been that the day after, 2 days after, right, the attack began on Saturday, on Monday, I did a show. I said I would love for this to be over in a couple days and prove me wrong. But I think that the attack on Iran starting this war was maybe the worst mistake anybody has ever made in history. And I'm standing by that. I still don't think there has ever been a bigger mistake, a bigger screw up, a bigger unforced error. Yeah, I remember it was like the day after, and it was like all Trump had to do was not hit the big red war with Iran button. Literally anything else, we might be upset. We might be anxious and impatient and wanting him to do more. But the only thing he had to not do, the only way to guarantee his second administration was an abject failure, was to hit the big red war with Iran button, and he freaking hit it. He hit it for some reason. No need, no, not necessary. You know, whether it was Epstein blackmail being held over his head or what. Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but I was told by somebody close to Donald Trump that Trump thinks Israel will kill him to get a ground invasion of Iran. People thought that was serious. No, that was memeing. That was a meme, since it was the same, you know, thing that I said about Charlie Kirk. And we'll get to the Trump assassination thing in just a second, but it's the same thing as ever. Like, we've been talking about this since 2024, since the Butler assassination, and Trump being like, we think it was Iran, and all the way back then. You know, we just got a new transcript thing. Maybe we can search that up. Look for a time in 2024, the second half of 2024, when we talked about Trump blaming Iran for wanting to assassinate him. Because all the way back then, we were saying, Israel wants the war with Iran. Israel wants to blame Iran for starting the war. If anybody's going to kill Trump to get what they want, it's Israel. Sorry, I might have messed that up. Israel wants war with Iran. Israel can get what they want if they kill Donald Trump. Why he would set it up that way, I couldn't possibly explain. This is one of those things that, you know, everything Trump does, you can interpret in opposite ways. Literally everything. And I'm open to the suggestion. Like, it might be that he is, because as we've said since, I've been saying this since 2016 when he first got elected, that Trump is a ninja. That might sound crazy, but if you know the history of what ninjas were, they, you know, operated in secret. They were a secret faction operating against the people in power at the time. So they had to develop methods of operating that they could do it literally directly under the noses of the samurai, the ruling class. So they had to actually, everything they did had to be done with the approval of their enemies. Imagine that situation. Imagine, you know, you're Donald Trump. And maybe you really are America first. Maybe you really do see a problem with Israeli influence destroying our country. But you know that you have to act in a way, in a manner that looks as though. And so you can look at stuff. You can look at almost anything. Like, Trump comes out and says, President of Israel, you have to pardon Bibi Netanyahu. And of course, we see this and we're just like, seriously, Trump, really? Do you have to go out of your way to humiliate yourself? Do you have to just, on a random Tuesday, just remind everybody that you're still Bibi's bitch? Like, is this really necessary? That would be the surface level interpretation. But there's also the perfectly valid, I think, supposition, interpretation that, hey, maybe he wants the war to end and he thinks Netanyahu keeps this going so he doesn't have to go to trial. Can you just pardon him so he's not under threat of trial, so he stops perpetuating this war so we can end it already? Can you please pardon Bibi Netanyahu so we can stop doing this war? I don't know if that's true. I don't necessarily think that's true. But almost everything Trump does can be interpreted in this way. And it makes it just impossible to, again, get your hands around what's actually happening and what's actually motivating anybody. But I think he's been, you know, largely humiliated. He is looking for an exit. We don't have one. And all we can possibly hope for is that we pay a huge chunk of money to return to slightly less than the status quo. Remember, status quo pre-war, Strait was open, no tolls, nothing. Now we're just possibly hoping against hope. We can pay them $300 billion and they can charge a fee for everybody who goes through. More on the other side. Stay with us.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often there are things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
Welcome back, folks. My point in that last part was, you can interpret just about everything Trump does in different ways, depending on your perspective or what you want to believe or what you do believe is actually going on. But when Donald Trump comes out and says, Iran is trying to assassinate me, if I get assassinated, it was Iran, nuke them, essentially, is what he said multiple times in the past. There's no interpreting that as 4D chess, because he says it publicly. And then if he were to be killed, that's what, you know, the media would go with, and that's what people would rally behind. So he's literally, it's like putting a big sign on his forehead. It says, "Dear Israel, killing me gets you everything you ever wanted. Murder me and everything you've ever wanted is yours." The only thing that could possibly, you know, alter that outcome would be if we beforehand let everybody know if anything happens, Donald Trump, we're blaming Israel. Okay? You thought the Charlie Kirk assassination? I mean, there's actually some stuff to base it on that. we're going to blame Israel. Okay, I'm just letting you know right now. I just want Israel to know they are incentivized to not murder our president because we're going to blame them 100%. It's going to go terribly for them. I really want them to know that and believe it. But obviously, Trump is very worried about his safety right now. The story from today was that he snuck off of Air Force One in a box. He was packed away in a box, like a chicken dinner, put on a catering cart, and shuffled off to an Air Force, like troop transport plane, and scurried out of Turkey. Trump reportedly hid in a catering container to board a secret flight to Turkey amid Iran threat. A little bit humiliating, I have to say. And we can tell you about that in just a second. But again, I don't think Iran would benefit from this at all. It is the type of thing that would happen because we've seen this happen many, many times in the past. Do we remember the Syrian civil war and Obama saying, we will not get into the Syrian civil war unless they use chemical weapons. And then a week later, they quote unquote used chemical weapons in an attack that the official, you know, chemical weapon monitoring station at the UN declared was a false flag attack and never actually happened. And they did it multiple times, including when Trump was president. But it's just that typical thing where it's like the one thing you shouldn't do is this one thing. And then they happen to do that one thing. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Iran is winning this war. They have us on the ropes. I mean, they're not conquering us, but we have nothing to offer them at this point. They do hold all the cards. They're holding us straight, if you will. They have no incentive to kill President Trump at all. I think their current plan of we're just going to wait out Donald Trump is probably going to work. It's probably going to work. The only thing that would guarantee boots on the ground, the only thing that could possibly bring Americans together to actually want this war in Iran. Well, there's two things. They could kill Donald Trump, and then it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. I mean, we're going to blame Israel, but the powers that be will just blame Iran and, you know, rally everybody to war, and the vast majority of normies will just go along with it because they're scared. Or a massive false flag terror attack with like an entire city's downtown being wiped out with a dirty nuke or something like that, suitcase bomb. That something so overwhelmingly traumatic would also basically destroy people's ability to think straight and use fear to get us to go along with it. But, you know, other than that, Iran is in a pretty good place right now. So why they would want to kill President Trump is really beyond me. And yet not only is he skipping to the next plane, and like the dude's got to be actually afraid because it's a pretty long flight he's taking. And Air Force One's pretty damn comfortable. From what's been reported, I guess he apparently went on a troop transport, which probably doesn't have the king-size bed and the movie theater and whatever else that Air Force One do. So for Trump to take a long flight on a troop transport, he probably had to actually be convinced that there was a threat there. But that's not the only example. U.S. President Donald Trump was seen golfing at his Bedminster, New Jersey club with a missile defense system deployed nearby, as F-16s were scrambled to intercept civilian aircraft that entered the temporarily restricted airspace over the area. In response to this from S2 Underground on X, he says, while I generally appreciate aggressive counterterrorism methods and an abundance of caution, it is pretty concerning that our nation's leadership requires missile defenses and AWACS during ad hoc trips around the United States that only take a few hours. I'm not saying it's not needed. I'm saying that if it is needed, we've got a problem. The increasingly more significant methods we've been having to use within the homeland are not exactly indicative of a stable situation, and one might call this an indication and warning of how serious things are on the international stage. The Avenger missile defense system is not for drone defense, it's for shooting down aircraft. Going a step further, I would argue that the strategic situation right now is more serious than it was during the height of the Cold War, and very few people seem to even notice. In addition to that, there's obviously a election coming up in Israel, where Benjamin Netanyahu is not looking so great specifically because of his inability to get America to fully commit to Israel's designs for the Middle East, including boots on the ground destruction of Iran, turning it into a failed state. But we got problems everywhere. Spy cameras on Navy drones secretly sent to China, secretly sent data to China. This is from the UK. Royal Navy spy drones used by Britain's elite special forces secretly sent data to China, Telegraph can reveal. The cameras on the K-3 Scout surveillance drones had components made in China, which were secretly transmitting information to a device in that country. The Royal Marines have been using the $12 million fleet since March, and the Ministry of Defense was forced to remove all internet connectivity from the cameras after discovering the breach. The revelation raises fears that Beijing has been attempting to spy on Britain's military after years of security warnings about the threat from the country. The drones were supplied by a major British contractor, Kraken Technology Group, which then sourced the cameras from a third party who'd given assurances about their security.
Oh, it's totally secure. Oh, you trust us, Mr. Britain man. It's a very secure. Nobody get in here.
Well, I guess I'll trust you. We can't make them ourselves. We've completely abandoned our greatness and sold out our industry, and we're now basically babysitting a bunch of third world barbarians. So I guess we've no choice but to go to China for our special operations.
Just what are we doing? Just what are we doing here exactly? You're buying spy parts from China and you're surprised that they're spying on you? Maybe you should have not abandoned your manufacturing. Like, maybe you shouldn't have given China all of the manufacturing in the Western world as part of your asinine global design in the mid-90s. I don't know. Maybe. Meanwhile, also in Europe, hundreds arrested over French wildfires, but who's to blame? It's kind of a weird headline. What do you mean, but who's to blame? You mean the people starting the fire? What? I don't get it. It's like, after wildfires caused more damage in France this year than any other time in World War II, many are asking the simple question, why? Why? Whatever could it be? Why, it must be climate change, of course. It's getting old. I thought it was funny back like 4 years ago when people kept blaming wildfires on climate change and we kept making the joke that there was some blue-haired dude with gauges in his ear, and he's like, I changed my name to climate change. First name climate, last name change. So yeah, these fires were started by climate change. These fires were started by climate change, aka me, a homeless dude with a bottle of gasoline and a lighter. Of course, in France, it would be probably the Muslims. And again, like, so much stuff. I feel like we're stuck in like a time warp. Like, can we not go back to 2022 and look at when wildfires were racking California and we spent like weeks covering documents from the left and from ISIS and from all these terrorist organizations that were like using wildfires as a war for liberation from the white imperialists and like actually instructing people how to start fires and how to get away with it? Are we supposed to act like we're all stupid and don't know what's actually going on here? A major driver is that climate is changing as a result of well-documented way humanity is burning fossil fuels. Temperatures are only rising. It's not helped by the fact that 9 out of 10 wildfires were started by humans. The government in Paris is trying to attribute blame, although itself is accused of being underprepared for the infernos that have now scorched more than 300,000 acres this summer. The Interior Ministry has announced 420 arrests of people alleged to have either started the fires deliberately or by accident. Among them are 166 minors. In one case, a 23-year-old man has been accused of deliberately starting 10 fires in the space of 5 days in the southeastern Var area last month. He faces 15 years in prison and a €150 fine if convicted. I'd like to know his name. I'd like to know if his name is French or not, personally. I'm amazed at the number of arrests. It feels excessive, admits Muriel Gestas, a lawyer who represents several people accused of arson, including two firefighters. She doubts many will lead to a conviction. But tell you what, if you're arresting 420 people for starting those fires, let's say a good quarter of them are false accusations. I don't think they are. I don't think they'd be arrested if they didn't have good reason, but I think it's a pretty sizable yet still reasonable amount. That still means there's 300 plus people arrested for deliberately starting fires in your country in a very short amount of time, all over the place. I bet they're in coordination. This sounds like an attack. Sounds like an attack is what you're dealing with. But we have to filter this through the mind virus of the leftist, which basically has to be wrong about everything. It has a predilection to falseness just in every realm. And so, you know, they see that 420 people arrested. The normal person would go, oh, my God, this is an attack. That's not a coincidence. You don't get 420 people all starting fires all across the country, all in a short time period. As a coincidence, this is an attack. Clearly, this is motivated by some sort of organized attack against France. But the leftist, who has to congenitally be wrong about absolutely everything, sees that and goes, wow, that's a lot of arrests. It sounds like they're arresting like way too many people. It sounds like maybe this is like a little bit of a crazy reaction to like some forest fire. So they just, you know, they got to be wrong about everything. Same thing happens in Canada, obviously. Now I want to talk about Flock. What the flock? These flocking cameras that we have to deal with everywhere. This is also one of these things, just like the war in Iran. I mean, it's exhausting, but just understand where we are. That, like, there is no good reason for these things. They are not being used effectively. They will not be used effectively. They're not going to lower the crime rate to any substantial degree, except and unless they feel the need to show some sort of usefulness so they can get everything else that they want, which is permanent, constant, perpetual surveillance of everybody all the time. And what that does to your mindset, what that does psychologically to you, knowing that in your house, driving to the store, that you are being logged and tracked, and that somewhere on some file, and really in private files and public files and Amazon servers and Google servers, all networked and connected by a law enforcement hub where they get access to this stuff unrestricted and without warrants, it changes your behavior. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change your mindset. It'll change how you raise your children. It's not good. And the only possible argument for it is, oh, well, you don't want crime to go down. And yet we've seen Nayib Bukele and others have worse problems than we do, fixed it without flock cameras. It's not necessary at all. But here's where it gets really stupid. Very, very stupid and dangerous is that you've got sort of a feedback loop where we've got very stupid and entitled criminals who think that because we have like the Fifth Amendment to protect against government abuses means that they should be able to lie with impunity and get away with everything, and that they, you know, and so they'll argue with the cops, and the cops in turn are sort of trained or sort of just naturally accustomed to just being like, shut the hell up, you're lying. Because that's, as a cop, I guarantee you're just being lied to all of the time in the most blatant ways with the most ridiculous objections. I'm sure. I guarantee that's what it's like. And so they have trouble adjusting when the person is actually legitimately being falsely accused. Because again, I don't even necessarily blame, I'm just recognizing like a human pattern here, that if a cop has spent 10 years like arresting people who are guilty, and yet every time he tries to arrest them, it's, oh my God, I'm crying, I can't breathe, you got the wrong guy, I can't believe you're doing that. And you just tune it out, right? At a certain point, you're just like, yeah, buddy, hands behind your back right now. But then along comes Flock, and suddenly you're getting what seem to be the same type of, you know, warrants, the same type of direction saying, hey, go out and arrest this person. And so you're going there on the assumption that it's like your 10 years of experience based on solid evidence. And the person might say whatever they're going to say, but you know that you've got good evidence. Now they're being sent out with very, very poor evidence, totally misidentifying people. And yet they're acting like they found the person and the person's, you know, being ridiculous. And so you've got these stupid robot cops. Robotic, I mean, NPC type cops who like can't seem to get it through their mind that like they're pulling over a car that's supposed to be a stolen car from gangbangers, and it's like a grandma and her 3-year-old, and they're just like, hands behind your back, hands behind your back, get on the ground. And it's like, guys, chill out. Like, can you not see there's some inconsistency here? That this isn't your typical suspect? That maybe something's gone wrong here? That the person is just like clearly a 45-year-old mom on her way to yoga, just being like, what is happening? And they're just like, you're stolen car. This is a stolen car. And like these videos, that's genuinely what they're like. And we can go to some of them here. But the thing that like really kind of blows my mind about all of it. Who steals a car and doesn't change the license plate? That's the thing that blows my mind. So they're pulling these people over, sometimes on the side of the highway, guns drawn, dangerous situations. Like, it's going to be it's a matter of time, probably a short time. I'd be surprised if it hasn't happened already. Someone's going to get, like, seriously hurt, injured. They're going to be thrown to the ground and crack their head on the sidewalk. Or they're going to reach for their phone and a cop's going to fill them with lead because they're, like, primed. They're thinking this is a typical arrest when really it's because some dumbass flock camera can't tell a one from an eye. And they're arresting some, you know, poor lady that doesn't know what the hell's going on. This is a disaster. This is like completely ridiculous. And at the end of the day, all you're doing is scanning license plates, and you have a database of license plates of stolen cars. And if you get a ping, you just assume that that's the stolen car and you're going to go arrest them. And then it turns out they can't even correctly identify license plates. Why would anybody who steals a car keep the license plate on? Why would they not just swap it with a different license plate? This is like the simplest thing ever. Like, so if what you're doing is using flock cameras to scan license plates for stolen cars, you're probably never going to find them. Because what criminal steals a car and then doesn't change the license plate? If nothing else, just pop the license plate off another car in the parking lot and pop it on yours. Go drive around in your stolen red Tahoe until you see another stolen red Tahoe and pop the plates off that, put it on yours. So I guess we're only going to capture the most retarded criminals with this. Criminals that steal cars and then just drive them around without changing anything on them, without replacing the license plate. Like, what? That's crazy. Do people not think about this? Let's go to clip 43 here. Brookfield police detained two people at gunpoint after outdated flock camera alerts link their cars to a homicide. Let's watch.
Brookfield police with guns drawn pull over a car they say was flagged by flock cameras in connection to a homicide out of Milwaukee. Well, turns out this was all some sort of mishap with the flock camera systems. In fact, Brookfield police say they called Milwaukee police and MPD said they no longer needed the car or the people inside, so officers let them go. But, you know, this has really become a point of contention, flock cameras as a whole, as more reports of misuse by law enforcement across the country arise.
And there's a lot of examples, and whether it's a mistake or abuse or people accessing it from, you know, privately, however they want, looking, spying on, you know, kids at the splash pad. It's totally ridiculous. And this is this meme is fantastic, but it's still paints a better picture than actually exists. We can go to dot cam here. Flock safety tunnel vision. You've got, you know, all the things that come along with flock. It normalizes mass surveillance, mass location tracking, zero public oversight, illegal cross-agency data sharing, police database abuse, warrantless searches, public-private surveillance infrastructure, nationwide vehicle database, lockdown enforcement tech, searchable location histories, automated police flagging. I would add things like that, things like the fact that you can frame people very easily with it, that police and people who work at flock have been shown to be accessing cameras without permission for whatever reason, nefarious purposes that they never bother to explain. But the hyper focus, the tunnel vision is on one aspect, which is it catches criminals. But that's not really that true, is it? First of all, you're obviously catching a bunch of non-criminals, putting them in great danger, inconveniencing them and possibly ruining their lives if you actually take it to court. And we've seen this with the videos with the cop going to the woman and being like, we have you on camera. You stole packages. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, don't even try. Don't even try. We've got you on camera. We've got you dead to rights. And they truly believe that they do. They have no idea what they're dealing with. They were literally treating this the flock camera nonsense, bullcrap, algorithmic falsehood with like, hey, this is, I got a warrant. You know, they must have gone to a judge and, you know, identified this person and found where he is. And now I have a warrant. Like, they're treating as if it's gone through all the right processes, but it never has. And cops are literally too stupid to know the difference, unfortunately. So it's like, okay, the flock tunnel vision is on fighting crime. But for one thing, it identifies innocent people. For another thing, it doesn't actually do anything to stop the criminals. You still have to send out cops to track him down and arrest him. And when you do, half the time in a liberal city, you're sending him to a DA that doesn't even prosecute him. So all Flock is going to do is film the criminality, film the criminals committing assaults and murders, and then just, you know, you'll have a big Rolodex. You can provide every criminal with their own little profile where they can have full-fledged, high-definition camera footage of all of the various crimes they're not being punished for. But it gets so much worse. Obviously, Flock is now planning on using hundreds of thousands of dash cams as mobile license plate readers. Surveillance company Flock planned to use hundreds of thousands of dash cams as mobile license plate cameras using Lyft, Uber, and other delivery vehicles. According to a presentation seen by 404 Media, Flock was targeting a deal with Nexar, a company that makes dash cams for rideshare drivers, delivery drivers, commuters, and casual drivers. So you're going to have your security cameras, your Ring doorbell cameras, your dash cams, the Flock cameras, whatever satellite surveillance they have, your phone constantly pinging, being able to record and film video remotely. Full scale, total, digital panopticon surveillance prison device, like everywhere, 100% of the time. They're building it, and they're building the data centers to parse the data so that they can bring about their paradigm of absolute and total control. And there is no argument for it. The only argument you could possibly make for it is that it fights crime, which we've seen it doesn't. And it certainly doesn't to a sufficient degree to offset all of the various negative aspects that we've just laid out. But it gets worse, and I'll bring you that in the next hour. I do want to tell you about a new product that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. And I have to say, I freaking love it. You know, there's some things when you're a kid, you're growing up, and you think you're too cool for some stuff. You know, you think your parents' music is lame or the movies they watch is not cool. And one of those things is fanny packs, you know? At least when I was a kid, fanny packs were not cool. They were not cool. As an adult, fanny packs are one of the most useful things ever. Where I love carrying fanny packs is at the airport, because you have to take all your stuff out of your pocket to go through the machine. And it's just easier if it's just all already in a fanny pack. You just pop it off, put it on the belt. There's lots of reasons to have a good fanny pack. Now, this fanny pack you might not want to take to the airport, because it's the fanny pack you carry your gun in, all right? It's a new fanny pack at thealexjonesstore.com, the Liberty Concealed Carry Pack. Absolutely awesome pack. It comes with five patches. Each one of these could sell for like $15, but you get five of them with the pack. An absolutely amazing deal for everybody that carries or not. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.